Good afternoon, my friends. The doctor is in the house. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of To Your Health with Dr. G. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to bring to you guys my second annual Back to School Health Series. I love it. And really what this series is all about, it's about making sure that our youth, our children, our adolescents have all the tools necessary to live healthy, active, inspiring lives. And so I'm excited to bring this back, a second annual series. My first series was last year. Check it out on my website, www.drmarkgomez.com. And really what I'm all about here today is we're going to be offering you, over the next 3 weeks, practical tips. You out there, the caregivers, the parents, the grandparents, anybody that serves as a role model, a mentor, or a caregiver for any of our youth or adolescents, we want them to have the tools to be successful. As you, as parents and caregivers, I want you to be armed with the information to really make life easier if we can. Life's not easy, of course, but we want to make sure that you at least have a fair shot. On this show, we're all about making sure that people have equity and access to their health. Of course, we want you to encourage you to make sure you see your doctor and for your kids to see their doctors. And really, it takes a village to talk about some of these issues, these pressing issues that are affecting our youth and our adolescents this day and age. So I'm excited to welcome everybody back to the show. I tell you what, we're here live at Intellectual Radio Studios. You're checking us out live on Facebook.com. Again, my website, www.drmarkgomez.com. I'm a board-certified internal medicine physician practicing out of Edward Hospital in Naperville, Illinois. And I tell you what, my panel today is fierce. Today's topic, it's true, today's topic, as we're breaking down this back-to-school health series, is called Real Talk About Bullying. And we're going to get into this topic in a few moments, but of course, I want to hit you with a quick disclaimer. The content of To Your Health with Dr. G is for informational and entertainment purposes only, and that the content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment. Further details can be found at www.toyourhealthwithdrg.com/disclaimer. So here we are today. We're going to have this powerful talk, or an important talk, because we have to be comfortable talking about things that affect us all, that affect our communities. For me, as an internal medicine physician, it's a little bit more harder for me to talk about some of these topics that affect our youth because I only see adults. But being a parent, I can certainly identify with some of the challenges there are being a parent to young kids, and certainly with some of the challenges that they face. And so I've aligned a panel of experts today, and you're going to meet them all in a few moments, and we're going to tackle this bullying epidemic. But we want to have real talk, and we want to offer practical solutions. Again, it takes a village to make sure that we're all doing well with our health and our lifestyles and having success to the max. But we've got to talk about these issues, and we can't be afraid to run away from them. We have to embrace them, but hopefully have practical solutions. And that's what this show is going to do. Actually, that's what this whole series is designed to do over the next few weeks. Practical solutions that can be implemented by you, your family, your loved ones, and your medical team. So let me give you a little bit of talk about bullying, because I think it's important for us to talk about this. So many of us are familiar with the topic of bullying and what it means. But again, bullying itself is shaped by a lot of perpetuations of misconceptions. And we're going to do some of that, talk about some of those misconceptions that are out there, but some of the misconceptions that make it even harder to recognize signs and symptoms of bullying, but also even impeding our efforts to make sure that we resolve some of the issues that are out there. At the end of the day, you know, even though these ideas and some of these misconceptions have been refuted by research, we still have an uphill battle to make sure we make sure that the bullying epidemic is minimized as much as possible. And the fact of the matter is that bullying is real. It can lead to substantial health challenges, both to children who bully and to those who are victimized. And we as a society need real solutions to reduce the bullying burden. So that's where we're having real talk. So how this show works, you're going to meet my panel and everything. What I do on the show, for those of you that are new to the show, I ask the panel a lot of questions. But we have frank discussions because we want you to have all the tools necessary to make a difference. We're going to challenge each other a little bit. We're going to have a good idea of the discussion. But again, we're going to leave you guys today with some take-home points that can be implemented as well. Of course, first things I want to do is introduce my panel to you, because again, you have to know these guests because they are fantastic. And I say it every week on the show, by the way. I always say my guests are fierce because it's true. And I really
wrong.
Do mean it.
Exactly.
And I'm never wrong. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Johnson, which is true. And so it's true. These experts are just passionate about what they do and really want everybody. I think for us being in a service industry and caring for others, we want people to do well. So I'm going to introduce my panel. It's going to be a great show today. I'm so excited. And the best thing that you guys got to do is make sure you share this message of hope and opportunity out there. So my first guest, she and I went to medical school a long time ago. I can't believe it. It's a long time ago. We're actually about to come up on our 15-year medical school graduation reunion. And so far, I think you and me might be the only guests, but that's all right. We're going to rock it out. It's going to be a great time. But I want to welcome...
But if there are others from our class out there, please join us.
Oh, yes, please. Those of you that are listening, that anybody from the class of 2004 of Stritch School of Medicine needs to be at this reunion. So I want to introduce my guest. She and I have been longtime friends, colleagues, classmates at Loyola. And she's been on the show, Tear Up with Dr. G, many times before, so I want to welcome her back. I want to welcome back Dr. Kate Johnson. Read to you her credentials, because her credentials run deep. Dr. Kate Johnson is assistant professor, board-certified adult and child and adolescent psychiatrist from Loyola University Medical Center. Check her out, www.loyolamedicine.org. Dr. Johnson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Please tell us a little bit about where you did your training. Obviously, we already let everybody know that you're Loyola, but please talk about more about your med school, your residency, and really, what does this theme today about Real Talk About Bullying mean to you?
So I did my residency and fellowship in child and adolescent psychiatry in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina. And, you know, I do, right now I see adults and kids, and so I see it over and over and over again in my child patients that this bullying is a real problem and has been different than it was when we were kids, right? Like it's evolving for sure. I also see a lot of adults who were bullied as kids and know that it has real lifetime consequences. So I'm glad that we're talking about this today.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. I want to introduce my next guest. She and I made a recent connection through our associates together at work, and we have a lot of mutual colleagues and that we work a lot well with. And I'm so excited to welcome her onto the show and to have a continued relationship moving forward as we take care of patients together. So I want to read the credentials for my second guest. Her credentials are also deep, there's no doubt. So I want to introduce Dr. Laura Kohler. She's a licensed clinical psychologist with Linden Oaks Behavioral Health. Check her out, www.eehealth.org. Dr. Kohler, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Please tell us about your background. Where did you do your training? And then kind of a few opening remarks about what is this theme today of bullying, having real conversations about it mean to you?
So I got my master's and my doctorate at Illinois School of Professional Psychology. And then I did my internship at a residential center. So pretty much all my training has been with kids. And then I did my postdoctoral fellowship at Linden Oaks, which is how I kind of got introduced there, on the inpatient unit, though. And then it just happened to be that when my postdoc was ending, the anxiety programs were opening. And so I applied, and then I became a clinical therapist for the adolescent anxiety program. And I was there for about 7 or 8 years. And then I was promoted to clinical supervisor of the whole unit. And so then that's an adolescent anxiety program, an adult anxiety program, as well as aspirations, which is just kids with anxiety and depression, as well as high-functioning autism.
Wonderful.
So we see this quite a bit in our unit, kind of the same idea of that we have kids that are coming in to get intensive outpatient treatment, perhaps because of bullying or the side effects of bullying, things like that, and then the same adults that have also been bullied.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Cole, for coming out today. I can't wait to talk more about some of this topic for you. Well, my last guest, she and I made a connection recently through also, again, I know everybody. I feel like that's a great thing. Or my wife knows everybody. But again, we're talking about, I said at the beginning, it takes a village. So we have to continue to expand our networks, but finding like-minded people that can help solve and address real problems. But it does take more than one individual to do so. So that's the beauty about this show. And I always like bringing people together so we can talk and hopefully have more practical solutions that you out there can take home and use in your life. So I want to welcome my last guest, Ms. Kimberly Dreisbach. She is a supervisor of social work services at Naperville District 203 Schools. Check her out at the district website, www.naperville203.org. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this field. Being in social work, and also a few opening remarks about this theme of bullying today.
Yeah, so I got my bachelor's in social work from Spring Arbor University. It's in Michigan, it's a small private school. And then I got my master's in social work from the University of Illinois at Chicago. I've been a social worker at a middle school in a different district for the past 12 years, and this is my first year at Naperville 203, and very excited to be there, kind of overseeing all the social workers. And the reason why I'm so excited for today is because bullying is prevalent in all of our schools, kind of at every level, from early childhood all the way up until are 21 up to 21 ages. So very important to talk about, very important to have kids and parents know and all get involved in how we prevent it and how we overcome it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming out today. So now you met our guests. The guests are awesome. And really, again, we're framing the conversation about adolescence. This is Back to School Health Series, talking about our youth and our adolescents. But make no mistake, bullying is a problem that goes across the entire age spectrum, from birth all the way to even like elder abuse in our older citizens. But today, again, we're keeping the focus on our youth and adolescents. And again, this show is really for the caregivers out there, the parents, the grandparents, anybody who's in the life of a youth, and making sure we be more aware of the signs of bullying, but also what can we do about it, getting practical tips. So let's start this way. So what we do when people come to the office and see us, we call that the chief complaint. And so the chief complaint, or AKA the question of the hour, is bullying is seemingly out of control these days. What can we truly do to protect our youth now? So I want to ask you, as the first question, Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, can you just give us just an overview? What is bullying? Just to kind of clarify and just paint some ground rules here. What is bullying? Because I think we all have an idea in our mind, but can it be defined in a simplistic type of term? You know, it's got so many connotations to the word, but can it be defined a little more simply?
Probably, and I'm going to try to do that.
Thank you.
So basically, I think if you think of it as any time you're trying to like make somebody else feel bad about themselves, or kind of cut somebody down for your own gain, I think, you know, that's bullying to me. And, you know, certainly on the flip side of that, we all have kind of had those times when it's like somebody's really coming at us and it's just like, ah, gosh, I really don't feel good about myself right now. The problem too, and I think, you know, the difference between somebody just kind of being mean to you and bullying is often ongoing, and, you know, you insult somebody once, it's kind of like, oh, hey. But if you keep going, it really wears down at their self-esteem and their self-image. So.
Thank you very much. You know, I think of just as an internist, but also as a parent, you know, that repeated behavior that's there, and that kind of, to me, kind of sets home the definition of bullying. But again, you know, we want to make sure that we talk about it a lot more. Let me ask this question, Dr. Kohler. Bullying can take various forms, not just maybe like physical, but also verbal. But what are kind of other kind of forms and shapes and kind of sizes, shapes, sizes, all that kind of jazz, of what bullying really kind of comes to?
I think there, besides the verbal bullying and the physical bullying, there can also be like relational bullying or like emotional bullying, which is typically more like passive aggressive type behavior. So like spreading rumors, you know, not including someone. And again, it's got to be repeated. You know, doing things like that, as well as, you know, if they have like embarrassing information and like sharing it that, you know, was supposed to be kept confidential.
Excellent. You know, for me, I think about, you know, and this is kind of my thoughts on things, you know, I think about bullying, of course, being very direct or indirect, and you both are kind of implying that direct in somebody's face, maybe a more aggressive kind of thing, but indirect through some of those other kind of channels, in this day and age. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the social media rise and the bullying that happens there with cyberbullying. But I always like to tell people, you know, at the end of the day, it's still about deliberate, hostile, repeatable offenses that are out there. And so again, we want our children to be very well. Kim, let me ask you this question, because you wear a different hat from a district standpoint, a system standpoint. You know, how do you guys kind of see bullying, you know, being part of a school district that obviously wants to address this issue firsthand? You know, how do you kind of see things from your lens on the issue of bullying? Are you seeing, obviously, a growth in that? What are you seeing in these days since you've been in practice for a long time?
So it's definitely growing as kids start. It starts, what we try to do to kind of combat it is we have social-emotional learning, and we have that implemented throughout the curriculum, teaching kids how to be kind, how to treat others, how to stand up for others. We definitely see a rise in it in the middle school, junior high level. That's kind of where it's most prevalent. That's also where kids start to get technology, and that's an issue too. And then as they go into high school, it's still an issue, but not as great. That middle school, junior high level is like our key kind of target area, where we see a lot of it happening, and how, because it's a developmental age where kids are trying to figure out, how do I fit in? What do I need to do? How do I define myself? So that's the area that's kind of the most prevalent right now.
Excellent. So let me come back to Dr. Johnson on this one. So, you know, teaching, as Kim was talking about, you really see a big boom in that middle-aged group. You know, as a clinician, how are we screening this? You know, what are doctors doing from their end? As I said, in the beginning, it takes a village. But what are, like, clinicians doing to maybe screen for things in the primary care setting or even in the specialty setting, like from your world?
So we ask everybody. You know, we ask about, like, especially in our intake visit, you know, we'll ask about any history of abuse or traumatic things or whatever. And it's especially in our kids, that's part of that. And we just, you know, it's one of those things that you ask everybody, you start to become more comfortable with it, they become more mm-hmm. comfortable talking about it. And so, you know, we just make it like any other symptom because it is such a prevalent thing.
You know, one of the things that's interesting for me, and maybe just because we feel as people, we feel a lot, and sometimes it's hard to bring up those kind of potentially difficult conversations, but we have to be empowered as practitioners to say, you know what? I'm a professional, I've got to say something. And if something's on your mind, speak your mind. And anything, I think everybody here would say, we'd rather somebody come forward and create an environment that's comfortable to come forward in, of course. But we'd rather have somebody tell us something, or us as clinicians to tease something at somebody versus not hearing it at all.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Kohler, what's kind of the goal of where you're at, you know, from a clinical psychology standpoint, and you're seeing, let's talk about this really big population now that's spiking with the middle age. You know, how do you start having those conversations with somebody that you might just be meeting for the first time, maybe meeting their parent for the first time because maybe there's been suspicions of bullying going on, maybe the kid has been victimized, or maybe the child is a child who bullies. How do you kind of just get into those conversations?
Kind of the same. We have an intake form once they're admitted into one of our programs, and it's whether they're a kid or an adult. And we just straight up ask them if they've ever, you know, either bullied themselves or been bullied. You know, is it current? Is it in the past? And so we start there. And then, you know, we also ask again often, because as they, you know, it's the first, second day, they don't know us well. So then a lot of the times, 2 or 3 weeks in, we'll ask again just to see, you know, if maybe they'd be more willing if there was a history. And then kind of on a daily basis, if we suspect something, we might just use different words, you know, like, does anybody tease you? Does anyone push you? You know, because sometimes just that word bullying, I think, kind of pushes people away and they don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and the situation you're talking about, you know, you don't want to put up barriers when you're trying to break them down, and those barriers may be already there by the first time somebody might see you. And I think with just any kind of relationship, and certainly even from a healthcare perspective, you know, I don't expect patients to tell me I want patients to be honest with me. There's no doubt, and I have a different hat because I see adults, and I can only help you if you're going to be honest with me. But I feel like the same thing would have to apply when you're working with youth and adolescents, but it might be harder because maybe they don't have, even like younger kids, because they might not have the insight as like an adult might have to say, okay, I know like my life is potentially, you know, I have a medical condition, diabetes or whatever, and I had to be open and honest with my doc to help this out. It's a little more of a difficult challenge when talking about our mental health and our emotional health. So let me come back at you again, Dr. Kohler. You know, how else are you breaking down barriers in your kind of perspective?
At Linden Oaks, we do mostly groups. And so we do individual and family, but as like a side piece to it. And so during the groups, it's things that might be brought up. And typically in groups, there's always at least that one or two that are very open and transparent, so they're willing to share things. So sometimes that can kind of open the door for it. And then oftentimes, kind of the same way with the schools, that bullying conversations are just kind of weaved in throughout the week of all the different types of topics that we do. So we're still talking about it, even if everyone in the room was like, I've never been bullied. And we're like, oh, this is just, you know, kind of just the standard conversation because we're talking about social skills or, you know, crisis skills or something like that.
Kim, let me ask you this question. So is there any, like, sheer numbers that you've come across? You know, we're actually talking about, again, the middle school population is one of the fastest growing populations expanding. But are there any sheer numbers that you're aware of on, like, how common is bullying at the, you know, elementary school level versus middle school level versus high school level? I know in medicine we think about, okay, somebody's risk for this condition is this, or the prevalence of this condition is blah. Do we know those kind of statistics right now?
So some. Some researchers have done like ages 12 and up, not so many on the younger ages. But what I've kind of found is that about 20% of students ages 12 through 18 are experiencing bullying. Could be one in four kids. Some research says one in three students. It says most bullying happens in the junior high levels. But I think this is also important. Another statistic that I found was that 85% of youth have witnessed bullying in school. So they're aware of it. There's different parts of when a bullying situation occurs. You have the person doing the bullying, the person being bullied, and then you have people around. So I think that is important too. Like even if a person isn't directly the one being themselves bullied, you have people that are around that have experienced it and could have concerns and other issues come up because they have witnessed something.
Well, I think the other thing is like we want to make sure that we have awareness. And I think some of the challenges for a lot of our teachers that are out there, and I feel for them a lot of the states with increasing class size and you have one teacher for 30 kids, it may be hard to see a lot of stuff. So I feel like more likely, the most likely person who's going to see something is one of the peer students before the teacher even gets it. Let me ask this question to Dr. Johnson, and I'll be frank with you, and let's hopefully kind of clear the air. From your experience, is bullying a learned behavior, or are people born bullies? Because I feel like I get that question quite a bit. But what's your thoughts on that? Is it a learned behavior?
Yes, I think is the answer to both of those things. I think there are people that are temperamentally predisposed to doing that, and I think there's a lot of reasons kids bully, right? Like one of those is it's just a learned behavior, and that's what they see, and that's what they know to do. And another is, you know, like if they're having issues, if they're acting out in some way, if they're, you know, trying to project something onto somebody else, you know, so. I think there is a like I said, there are temperaments that are more prone to it. There is sort of an inherent drive sometimes for us to feel like, okay, if I can feel like I'm better than somebody, then I'll feel better about myself. But generally speaking, I think a lot of the behavior itself is actually quite learned.
Well, Dr. Cole, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree. It's the same. I think that most of the time it's learned and even strengthened if there is kind of a genetic predisposition for it. But I agree, it's learned for the most part.
You know, I think from a primary care standpoint, of course, I'm always in the mindset, okay, prevention. And I know we have to, we can all sit here and be honest and say, you know, we can be doing more. But the question is, how do we do more? I think one way to do so is having this kind of conversation today and share the message, everybody out there, share this, please, because again, we want people to do well with their health. But how do we take this conversation? I'm going to ask this question to Kim. How do we take what we're talking about today and get it out to there? Let me even rephrase the question. Why should the general public care about this topic? And I'm not trying to like ask that question like in a challenging, you know, challenging kind of way. But we have to talk about this, but so why should we care? I mean, we care about it, but why should people care about this topic of bullying?
I think it's going back to that statistic where 85% of people have seen it and what's going on, and that can definitely impact them. Mm-hmm. It might not be impacting your child like directly, but it could be impacting their circle of friends. It could be impacting your neighbor. It could be impacting anybody you interact with. And so building that kind of self-care, self-confidence, those different social emotional skills around kids and strengthening them, how to stand up for each other, how to treat others, modeling that behavior for them is going to be huge. So we all have an impact on our youth and our kids. How we model, how we show that we respect others, how we treat others is going to show them how to do that as well.
There's a great website out there for those of you that are listening, it's run by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, but stopbullying.gov, and really how we can talk about getting people together, teachers, districts, coaches, parents, anybody that's got a role to play, and how we do, even kids themselves, your peers, because a lot of times I always think about when we were growing up, you learn a lot from your peers, and you learn a lot from your teachers and your parents, but you learn a lot of behaviors from your peers, you model it while you're playing at the playground. You know, it's interesting when you said middle school, going back to that one, I was not aware that middle school is a very exploding population with bullying. That's a hard age. You're starting to go through puberty. I'm just like thinking like, wow.
The worst 2 years of my life. Are you kidding? Oh my God. Yeah.
That's a rough time. And so you're trying to, and you're feeling like your body, you're trying to grow, and then you have all these emotions coming in, and you're getting a new perspective of the world, and you're also trying to fit in. And sometimes we do things that we don't want to do. Peer pressure comes in a lot at that time. There's a rise in so many epidemics going on, vape epidemic right now, in that age range. And so it's a lot of choices are have to be made, a lot of decisions. So how do we, you mentioned resiliency earlier, Kim, and I'm going to ask this question to Dr. Johnson. So how are we truly doing resiliency from your perspective? You know, you wear a clinical hat, you work with these kids. You know, resiliency, you have to teach them, you have to coach people.
Sure.
How are you doing it from your end?
So, I mean, I think there's a few ways to come at it, right? One is that, you know, if there is underlying depression, anxiety, things like that, we treat it. Also, just kind of working on, like, self-esteem and kind of making kids feel good about themselves before even they kind of go out into the world. The other thing is, though, like, kind of going through with some of my kids, especially who are a little bit more psychologically minded, you know, we can go through and be like, okay, why do you think someone's doing that to you? And what do you think is going to change that, right? So part of that is, like, I often will kind of go through and talk about, like, you know what, they're doing it because they're getting a reaction out of you. And if you don't, it's, you know, what is that, classical conditioning, I think, right? Like, if you don't get a response, you're not going to keep doing it, right? So I actually will kind of go through and, like, role play with kids and kind of go through the script until they've got it. Like, you know, okay, yeah, thanks, whatever. Like, just kind of blowing it off and saying, like, well, okay, you can think that. Have a nice day. You know, whatever. Like, that's a little bit simplistic, but you know what I mean,
right?
I do. And if they kind of go in feeling like they've got that tool, you know, and kind of that knowledge of, like, I mean, the thing I say over and over to my kids, to my adults, to people in my, you know, home life, like, anybody can say anything. That doesn't make it true. So even if they come at you and say the thing that, you know, you're feeling most insecure about, that doesn't mean it's true. And so how are we going to deal with the feelings about that? Because you can't control them. So how are you going to manage your feelings? How are you going to manage your response? While, you know, of course, you do want to let them know that anything they feel is okay, right? Like, you do want to validate, yeah, this really is awful, and they shouldn't be saying that to you. And why do you think they're doing it, you know? And so I think, you know, if you can kind of build the most resilient kids you can, and then also kind of arm them with those ideas, right, of, like, going out and just not, like, being kind of passive and not reacting, and that, you know, the kids will move on to somebody else, which doesn't make it better for somebody else, but if we teach all the kids this, right, eventually they'll run out of people, but you know what I mean, like, it can kind of ease the, like, if they have that mindset, it can ease their anxiety by going into it.
I agree, and I think it still comes out for me, and I'm hoping that my wife and I know we're doing a good job with our kiddos. But I want to make sure, you know, my kids know right from wrong. You know, it's wrong to make fun of somebody. It's wrong to treat somebody with disrespect. It's wrong for somebody to, you know, especially in the school setting, to not follow the instructions of their teacher. You know, and so people that might have a lot of children who may bully may have a willful disregard of kind of the authority, and certainly haven't come at it from an angle of power, whether they're physically bigger than the next person or maybe more connected and have more of the circle of friends and maybe gossiping. But I still want my kids, and I think the role of the parent is so important in this process, but there's so many people that are gonna be around your kids all day long when you're at work and everything, and so you hope that you're putting them in an environment. So let me ask this question to Dr. Kohler. So you can't have a show about bullying without talking about victimization and people that are out there that are being affected by bullying. Let me ask you this question. It's kind of a challenging question, but I'm going to ask it this way. Say, like, a parent knows that their child may be a victim. You know, is it right for a parent to put their child back in that situation where the child will knowingly be victimized? How do we deal with that? Because sometimes, you know, if you're living in a district where, like, maybe the only school and there's no other school, you know, but your kid still has to go to school, what are some ways to avoid putting your child back in that deliberate environment if you know that's going on?
Mm-hmm. I do think that's a complicated question.
I try. Yeah, that's the show goal of the show. Careful, Dr. G.
Because it's not an easy one. Because, I mean, obviously, right, the kind of the wish list, right, would be like, no. But like you said, there's situations and that it's the only school, you know, the district can't move the kid perhaps. And as well as we don't necessarily want to teach our kids to run away either.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's going to be a lot about who's ever sort of a part of the kid's team. So the parents, the teachers, social workers, if there's a therapist, a psychiatrist, something like that, you know, getting together and talking about, you know, kind of this twofold, hopefully, that the school is, you know, managing, and they can't talk about what they're doing with the kid that is the bully, you know, and so kind of allowing that, but then also on the other end, again, teaching, yeah, the skills and perhaps little, like, tricks and trades or accommodations that we could get. And so if it's happening a lot, like in stairwells, maybe not take that one, take a different one, try to, maybe there a teacher needs to shadow that person for a while, you know, situations like that, maybe use a bathroom somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, these kind of things that the kid can do while then the bigger picture is also happening.
Wonderful. Kim, please elaborate on that one, because you were the, you were a district head on this one. It's important because you're in a system that wants to minimize the impact of bullying. And so you're really there, you know, our kids are in those districts for 8 to 10 hours a day. Please elaborate a little bit on this issue.
Yeah, I think what you said too is the big piece that we need to know about it. So a lot of times kids won't tell their teachers, they won't tell their social worker or their counselor. They might tell their parents, they might tell their friends. But to get kind of everybody involved so everybody knows what's going on and knows on the same page. You find when your kid goes to school, tell them to be present around adults. Be present there. Find the adult. Find where those people are. If it happens when, a lot of time bullying happens when there are no teachers mm-hmm. present, when there are no staff present. So make sure you are putting your child, give them suggestions to say, hey, I know my teacher stands outside this door. I'm going to take this path.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know that nobody is really over here. Can you let your teachers know, like, can we have somebody over here watching us? And we will do whatever we can to kind of help support your child to feel safe at school. Because that's our big priority, is making sure people feel safe in a safe environment where they can learn and they can grow.
Wonderful. Dr. Johnson, oh, please go ahead and elaborate.
I was going to say, you do bring up a good point, though, that I think is important, right? That we can't necessarily just foster avoidance in these kids, because I think that is something that, you know, as parents or as caregivers or as sort of proxy, you know, mama bears, which some of us are, I think, you know, the impulse is, you know, get in and get them and protect them and not my baby, and, you know, but at the same time, you're also then teaching them that if there's danger, you have to run away, and they never develop the problem-solving skills that are very age-appropriate and very needed. And to say, like, okay, I'm in a situation that I don't like and I don't want to be in, how am I going to empower myself to get out of this and to do something different and to change the outcome? We do want kids to feel like they are in control of themselves and their lives, and they can make decisions to make changes instead of, like, I'm going to run away and everybody's going to take care of it and I'm just never going to deal with it. You know what I mean? Because I think you really can kind of perpetuate anxiety and all these other things, and then you also lose that opportunity to really create those problem-solving skills at the age where they're so developmentally needed.
You talk about missing that opportunity, and again, this is how we shape around health. You know, a lot of health challenges can be related to missed opportunities. And so the more people are armed with information and awareness, and the more intentional we are, I think that's going to make a big, big, big step in the right direction. Let me ask this question to Dr. Kohler. Are there any typical, you know, for parents out there, caregivers, are there anything that they can look for in their child if they think their child may be a victim of bullying?
Yes, I mean, it's a pretty broad spectrum, which I think is what can be tough sometimes, because it could be anything from like physical marks on their body if there is physical bullying, or items going missing because the bully's taking it. But then I think it can also then affect the other areas of increased anxiety or depression symptoms, you know, of just not showing interest in things that they used to, you know, maybe not then wanting to do things related to the school. So even like the sports or the clubs, because they just don't want to be in that building anymore. So then they're starting to withdraw from that. They can also have like appetite and sleep, you know, issues, because at night they start thinking about, I have to be there tomorrow. What am I going to do? And, you know, and then physical sensations and perhaps even like panic attacks. So really at the end of the day, it's just if there's any kind of switch, you know, if there's anything that you would think, you know, my kid's never acted like that before, has never said that before, might be a chance to investigate.
You know, parents have a critical role to play, there's no doubt, and I want to be honest and open with, I want parents out there to be honest and open with their children, and I think you have to kind of insert yourself as, I'm a parent, and I need to know, you know, almost like you were just saying, Dr. Johnson, where, you know, we tend to be kind of helicoptery to an extent, but we want to teach them the right skills to be able to resolve any potential conflict. But we have to be comfortable with ourselves to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And those can be difficult conversations to have, but I think you have to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
So let me ask this question to Kim. You know, how do we, just generally speaking, you know, and everybody here, check us out here, we're at Intellectual Radio Studios, or check us out on Facebook, we're having this great discussion about bullying, real talk about it. Again, I just talked about some practical approaches on signs and symptoms or things that we can do. So let me ask this question to Kim. You know, how do we kind of get somebody from having a mindset, you know, we're talking, there's no secret that we would probably say bullying is probably underreported. And it's probably no secret on that one. I don't have the research to back that up, but common sense would probably say it's underreported. So how do we kind of get somebody to get into that mindset of creating environments of reporting, or better yet, how do we take somebody who may be a victim and that might have that mindset of, you know, it's my fault, to say like, hey, I can do something about it. We talk about resiliency, but how do you kind of have those kind of conversations?
Yeah, I think it starts very young as well. Mm-hmm. Starting those conversations, even when they're like three at the early childhood stage, like having those discussions like, this is what bullying is, this is what you can do about it, this is how we treat others. So it kind of becomes normalized to have those conversations with our kids. As they get older, I know a lot of different districts have anonymous tip lines that you can report stuff if the kid does not feel comfortable coming up or is afraid to come and talk to an adult. They have it available where you can kind of report this anonymously, and then the school can investigate as well. But I think communicating is huge with the school. Your parents get involved with your kids, like investigate. They are your children, they are your kids. It's okay to look into their lives and figure it all out, whether that be their online presence, like get involved in that, get involved with their friends, figuring out who they're going with, who they're talking with. So you are invested as well, and you have an idea what's going on. Parents know their kids, I think, the best in some ways. We as a school, we're partners with you guys, with parents. And so to build that partnership, we need that communication piece. So starting young, working it in, having that discussion, parents having that discussion, and then parents being with the school as a team to have those talks with kids, and kids being able to report it. Like I said, even if they don't want to report it face-to-face, you can type it in online. A lot of schools have that.
Dr. Johnson, what other resources are available for parents and children out there that you might be aware of, or for these parents that are listening to the show? If they have any suspicions, what other resources are there out there? I mentioned stopbullying.gov is one resource, of course, talking like this, but how can people access information?
I mean, I think there's a lot of good, you know, the internet has its pluses and minuses,
yes.
Right? I think there's...
Don't go to Dr. Google.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think there's a lot of, you know, if you look at, you know, I think stopbullying.gov is an excellent resource. I think if you also can look at, you know, like, if you Google, like, bully-proofing your kids, you know, and then kind of take, like, you know, there was a really good, I think it was New York Times article earlier, I think it was May, about which was, I think, titled very much that. There are a couple other articles that, you know, were really, really useful. You also kind of have to use your own common sense, I guess, and common sense not being that common, you know. But pay attention to what you're looking at, what's the source. Like I said, anybody can say anything, that doesn't make it true, especially on the internet. So... I do think it is worth, you know, kind of feeling out what's out there. Also, certainly, talk to your kid's pediatrician. Talk to the school, you know, the social workers at the school. Talk to, you know, other parents. Talk to, you know, other people that are, you know, teachers, or not like teachers at the school, but like if they take lessons or do a sport, or, you know, kind of get involved with those people too. Because they do work with a lot of kids, and they can also give you some tips and tricks.
Excellent. Dr. Kohler, any other resources that you're aware of that could be shared with people that are out there that want to learn more about this?
I agree. There's a lot of good internet sites. If the kids are going as far as refusing to go to school, you know, might be to come to Linden Oaks for an assessment, because at Linden Oaks, our assessments are free, and they don't necessarily have to just be In you know, in one of our programs, mm-hmm. we also give just referrals for the community as well. So I think that that's always a possibility. And then I think kind of like on the side, sometimes like siblings can be good, and not that we want them to betray any confidence, but you know, sometimes the siblings don't even know necessarily that the parents don't know, and you know, situations like that.
Excellent. And then let me ask this to Kim. Resources from a school district perspective, what else are you guys doing out there in the school districts these days to help give resources to kids and their families?
Yeah, so it's those websites that we've already talked about. It's that I know a lot of teachers are talking about it, and they have like something called like morning meetings or like a school discussion group embedded in their classroom, embedded in their curriculum. So it's like they're talking about it, they're working it. So that's kind of what the school is doing with that. But you can always talk to your school. Different districts have, they might implement certain programs, social-emotional learning programs. It just varies kind of district to district, and sometimes school to school and what they're doing if it's not a district-planned curriculum.
Excellent. Well, it's great that there's resources out there for people to take advantage of. Again, if you have a concern, as we're talking about this topic of bullying, we're going to get into some myths versus facts in a few moments. But as we're talking about this topic of bullying, you know, use those resources that you have. You know, if you don't have any questions, if you don't know where to start, yes, the school district where your kid's at, where your child's at, is a great way to start. But also to start out and having this conversation with your pediatrician. You know, people that are important that want to look out for your child, those are ways to do it. But again, as a parent, I want parents out there to make sure that they have the right resources and tools to be successful in raising their kids and also reducing this burden of the bullying topic. So what I want to do right now, I want to get into myths versus facts. It's something that we do every week here on 2 Year Old with Dr. G. What I do is I say a statement. It's either going to be a myth or a fact. And my panelist is going to say either myth or fact. And then they're going to give us their interpretation of why it's a myth or a fact. We're going to kind of keep this moving a little bit. I like a little rapid fire, but it's all good. There are right and wrong answers sometimes. And sometimes I'm not trying to stump my panel. Most of the time they're either myth or fact. It's true. But sometimes there might be a little gray zone. And it's okay to talk about it because we're having a conversation. We're having real talk about bullying. And so what I want to do is do real talk about bullying, myths versus facts. Here we go, Dr. Johnson. Here's a statement. Since Dr. Johnson's been on my show many times, she's a pro at myths versus facts. Here we go. Here's a statement. I like this one. Bullying is just a stage, a normal part of life. I went through it, and my kids will too.
Yeah, no.
that's
no.
That's a true.
Yeah, I mean, it is true that, like, a lot of us have experienced it. It is true that there are going to be times in your life where people are not going to be so kind to you. But it's not just a normal thing. So one of the things we all often talk about in, you know, sort of building that resilience, right, is not just being like, well, suck it up, buttercup, that's the way it is, right? Like, you want to acknowledge and understand and have compassion for the way that your kids are feeling. And also, you know, okay, that doesn't mean that's where it ends, right? Like, yes, this is terrible, and I'm sorry you feel so hurt, and I'm sorry that your friend did this to you, and, you know, just really kind of validating that emotion. And what are we going to do about it? How are we going to help empower you? Who are we going to talk to? Who are we going to pull into your team? How are we going to do this? Because yes, this, you know, often life is awful and we deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the, like I said, it's sort of an opportunity to help kids learn how to deal with it. However, just the like, well, that's the way it is. It's never helpful.
I used to resign myself to like, well, that's how it is, when I used to go to my grandparents' house in Philadelphia, and I would see kind of the false teeth that my grandmother had. And I said, well, I'm just going to resign myself to the fact that when I get older, I'm going to have fake teeth. And then it's like, oh, wait, I could do something about it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like make fun of the situation or anything, but it's like there's opportunity. It's like I could brush my teeth and I won't have to get false teeth. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's opportunities to get engaged now, and better to have early engagement than not. Very well. Thanks, Dr. Johnson. Here's the statement. Dr. Kohler, if you have done everything you can to resolve a bullying situation and nothing has worked, or if someone is in immediate danger, there are ways to help.
Yes.
Please explain.
I think that's just all the things we've been talking about is if the kid is at school and it's happening right then and there, to look for the closest adult, go down to the guidance office, you know, again, avoiding those places where it's more common, you know, that the bullying's happen, or talk to your parents about it, even a friend sometimes, you know, because a lot of the times, and you can verify this, but like friends can go with to like the social worker's office if they don't want to go by themselves. So even having a friend do that.
Excellent. Thank you for
clarifying. And just, I mean, there is a point at which it becomes criminal, right? So there are times when we do need to get, if there is somebody in imminent danger, you know, we do need to get the police involved. We do need to get the authorities involved. We haven't talked a whole lot about cyberbullying, but, you know, that's a whole other world of, you know, things that are out on the internet, and there are points at which that can actually be a felony. So, you know, if there's, you know, stuff going on that isn't imminent, someone's in imminent danger, there is an imminent risk, you absolutely can go to the authorities.
Thank you. Kim, here we go. Myth or fact? Research shows that bullying will stop when adults in authority and peers get involved.
That is true.
Please explain.
So once kids see that adults are going to do something and they know that this is going to be stopped and it's going to be addressed, it diminishes.
All right, so, thank you. Here we go, Dr. Johns, myth or fact? I think we touched this earlier, but let's touch it again. People are born bullies.
Nope. Again, there are people that are maybe more predisposed to it, but no, sorry, there is no bullying gene that we've identified so far.
Thank you very much. Dr. Carla, here's a statement. Myth or fact? Quote, just stand up for yourself and hit them back, end quote.
False.
Please explain.
Please don't do that.
Please don't do that.
I just think that's going to make matters worse. And then it's really just now turning you into a bully and most likely going against kind of your natural values. Which is then could create anxiety and depression and other sorts of problems too when you're not behaving in the way that you view yourself.
Excellent. And there are definitely ways to resolve potential conflict without violence.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure, again, that students out there have the ability to go seek out the appropriate authority without fear of retribution. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Here we go. Kim, I like this one. Mm-hmm. Bullying is a school problem. I'm picking on you because you're in the school district.
Thanks.
Here we go. Here's a statement. Bullying is a school problem, so the teachers should handle it.
It is a school problem. However, we cannot be the only ones addressing it. We need parents. We are a team. We cannot do it ourselves.
Thank you. So that's a myth?
It's kind of like a yes and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in the middle. Okay, yes, but, or yes and.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Here we go, Dr. Johnson. I'd like to do a couple more of these.
I enjoy when you start with, I like this one.
I do like this one. I'm picking that right. I like, yeah. This is going to be a good one. Excellent. Here we go. Dr. Johnson. Boys report more physical forms of bullying. Girls tend to bully in indirect ways, such as gossiping and excluding.
That is true, to the best of my knowledge.
Hey, please explain.
And I think it's partly conditioned, right? Like, I think we expect our boys to be more physical. I think it's also more acceptable for them to report something physical, something very concrete, versus, like, you know, somebody making them feel bad. Like, I think boys are unfortunately conditioned in our society to have more of that suck-it-up, buttercup kind of mentality. And so they're not going to acknowledge that as readily. Girls, on the other hand, are conditioned to be kind of the mean girls, right? They're conditioned to do kind of more of the exclusion, to do more of the gossiping. However, yes and, that certainly doesn't mean that it doesn't happen the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely girls get physically bullied. Mm-hmm. Absolutely boys get emotionally bullied. It's just that we hear a little bit more about those things that we're more socially ready to hear.
All right, thank you. Here we go, Dr. Kohler. Here's a statement, myth or fact. Bullies have little empathy for their victims and show little remorse about bullying.
Typically, yes, that is true.
Please explain.
I think a big portion of it is kind of what we've talked about before with, you know, the bully could possibly, you know, have an unfortunate life at home, or can have their own anxiety, or don't know how to communicate with other people. And so then this bullying comes out. So they're really not aware of what's happening with the other person because they're just trying to figure out their own stuff and manage their own stuff. That sometimes they're not even fully aware of the effects that this is doing on another person.
Thank you for clarifying. All right, here we go. We'll do this last one. Kim, I get this one for you. Here it is. Here's the statement, the final myth or fact. It is healthy to continue sending your child into an environment where he or she will be bullied.
We have talked about
this. Please, give me an answer.
Gray.
Yeah,
gray zone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yes, we don't want to send our kids into some place that we know that they're going to get hurt potentially, yes. but we don't want to not teach them how to cope and how to process and how to handle and work through things. So mm-hmm. again, yes, but we're not going to teach them how to avoid. We need to address the situation and address it.
Thank you very much. So there you go, myth versus facts. So we got about 5 minutes left. We talked about the beginning. We talked about the chief complaint in the medical practice when somebody's about to be done and we give them a diagnosis or whatever. It's called the assessment and plan. People get their diagnosis. They get their treatment strategy. And most importantly, they have a follow-up. So I'm going to have our panel break it down. We'll start with you, Kim.
Sure.
Give us 3 practical steps out there for families that can take today, they can take today to protect their children from bullying. What are some practical tips that we can leave people with today?
Yeah. Talk to your kids, talk to them about bullying, what it is. I would say build their confidence and get involved in their lives. And the 3rd one is model how to treat others.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show today, Kim. Dr. Kohler, give us a couple take-home points, practical tips that are out there, or just something that people can take from today and apply in their lives, caregivers, parents that are listening to our show, to be more aware of this concept, more aware of the topic of bullying.
I agree. I think education is the number one place to start. But then also, if the kid's already been bullied and the anxiety and depression might be out already, we find a lot that often becomes lots of the conversation and lots of even outside of school. So making sure to do things on a daily basis that are just positive experiences that aren't talking about that. Like if you're away from school, allow then some time just to do fun things, fun experiences. As well as I think, kind of going back to what we were talking about with the gray area, that it doesn't have to be we either withdraw you from school or you have to then go in and completely endure everything. I think there is a gray area. We just have to figure it out, and it always comes back to the team. Like, everyone has to be involved. It
takes a village. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. Well, thank you, Dr. Cole. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank
Dr. Johnson, take us on home. Give us a couple take-home points out there for caregivers out there about this topic of bullying.
So, I think the best thing you can do for your kids, for a lot of situations, not necessarily just bullying, but certainly for this, is really create an environment where they can tell you anything. Ask your kids, listen to what they have to say. Don't be reactive or judgmental when they talk to you. Just listen to kind of what's going on, because they may not tell you, like, hey, I'm being bullied, but maybe eventually they'll start to tell you, like, hey, so-and-so, really made me feel bad today when this happened, and just really kind of putting that out there. The other thing, honestly, is, part of the reason that things are so different now from when we were kids, which, we like to joke about how old we are, but that really wasn't that long ago,
that's
right?
True.
Is that, if we were bullied at school, we would come home and it would stop. With all of this technology now, they never get a break from it. And so it's just like hammer, right? So really keep an eye on your kids' technology. Privacy is sort of a thing, right? When it comes to kids and adolescents, like you have to eventually start walking that line of like, how much autonomy do I give them and how much privacy do I let them have? But the fact of the matter is, you need to be in there. You need to be monitoring their socials. You need to be monitoring their text messages at least periodically, because you need to know not only what they're putting out there, but also what's coming at them. So, really keep an eye on that and really be mindful of the times that you may want to minimize technology and may want to minimize social media.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. My kind of final thoughts of this, we've been talking, what we've talked about today must be part of a broader daily conversation to do better and, quite frankly, to be better. As adults, clinicians, parents, we all wear a lot of different hats. Parents, community citizens, we owe it to our youth to make sure that they grow up safe and sound and as healthy as possible. We want them to do the same thing then to the next generation and therefore paying it forward. I want to thank my panel today because it's a tough discussion to have this discussion, but we have to have this and part of our broader scope of back to school health. We want our kids to be well. And so thank you all for sharing your words as well as your opinions to reduce the bullying burden for all. My challenge to you out there is to not let this conversation die down. Share this message of hope, share this message of opportunity, and know that someone out there can and will do something positive for another person. And remember, at the end of the day, that our continued engagement will only collectively help us get better at success, and in life and also in health. So I want to thank my panel today. It's been a great show. I want to thank my panel, Kimberly Dreisbach, Supervisor of Social Work Services, Naperville District 203 Schools, www.naperville203.org. Thank you, Kim. Dr. Laura Kohler, Licensed Clinical Psychologist, Linden Oaks Behavioral Health. Check her out, www.eehealth.org. She's with me. It's all good. Edward Health. Awesome. It's all good. And then, of course, my good friend, longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Kate Johnson, Assistant Professor, Board Certified Adult and Child and Adolescent Psychiatrist, Loyola University Medical Center, my alma mater, Loyola. Check her out, www.loyolamedicine.org. Hey, it's been great. Hey, everybody, you've been listening and watching live on Facebook at intellectualradio.com. This episode is written by Mark D. Gomez, MD, and Tiffany E.R. Gomez. Executive producer is Tiffany E.R. Gomez. Music is by the wonderful Mr. Havis. Copyright 2019 by MDG Wellness, LLC. All rights reserved. Stay tuned for next week's episode. We're going to be doing Back to School Health Part 2, Eating Disorders in Adolescents. Hey, everybody, share this show. Spread the message. Let's keep this health revolution going. We can only do it together. Check me out on my website, www.drmarkgomez.com. Peace out.